When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
K-Rex.
Yeah. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
All right, man, we don't need no air horns. We just going to continue the conversation we were having. Kyle Mattson sticking around here as the round table continues. Jesse's still with us. James had to bolt out. He's got some dad soccer duties, man. So we'll look, y'all know what it is.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
Acknowledge me.
Worst slums of all Sacramento. Right.
All the buttons have been pressed. Lord knows we ain't going to hit Young Zell again today, so let's just get right back into it. The consensus seems to be that last night's loss was the worst of the season. It was rock bottom. It was the ultimate low point. I mean, we could talk about Mike Brown challenging De'Aaron Fox and De'Aaron Fox having no response to that. A 17-4 start on your home floor, getting your ass kicked in the opening minutes in consecutive games is absolutely incredible.
I feel like that just tells you everything you need to know about this team. Like, not even the fact they're playing the Lakers, you don't need that motivation or nothing. Mike Brown called out Fox, and I'll just, like, include the entire team. Like, if Fox is getting called out, I kind of look at myself like, all right, I need to be better as well or whatever. Because Mike Brown's talking about, if we're not bringing it, then Fox needs to step up. Like, I just need to bring it myself. And they come out so flat to start the game, just like it's a just par for the course. Like, I feel like that just says everything about them.
I feel like they're an introverted basketball team. Like they're there and they're good, but they're not going to be outgoing. They're not going to really put themselves out there. Like you said, De'Aaron Fox gets challenged directly by Mike Brown and comes up with that, comes up with basically nothing.
Yeah.
I don't love that.
I mean, yeah, that's, shout out Guru. Put the rat on the table.
I don't know why we need to do that.
Wait!
But besides, you'll probably kill it. as we all know.
A rat might look better than the Kings at this point.
Well, oh, man.
And look, at some point, maybe, I got another story to tell.
Oh,
but
Jesus Christ.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy.
It's Friday. Well, it's the holiday season, man.
But, man, y'all know I got love for De'Aaron. I believe in De'Aaron. But what does that say about him?
It says he's not, like, every great player is kind of a psychopath, right? Like, they're going to read a thing. Here's it. Steph Curry reads a thing about himself online that he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to put that. It could be a person who made their Twitter account yesterday and has zero followers and one tweet, and it's, you suck. And he's going to take that and be like, all right, I'm going to go score 50 and show that guy. I think De'Aaron has that same thing and goes, meh, I'm chilling. My life's better than that person's. That's not a bad, like, it's not, I'm not knocking the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But De'Aaron Fox has the skill set and the talent to go get 40, 50 any given night, to just go be a killer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like he has that. Like, I don't think that's him.
Hmm. What does it say for the team if he's not? Because I don't necessarily think that means you can't win, but like, what if he just is not, just he just doesn't have that, and he is what he is now, which isn't bad, by the way.
It means, I don't know, it probably means like you gotta, like you need, I don't want to say too much around him to score, but it's like, all right, like, or excuse me, not score, but to win. But you got you got DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. you got Malik Monk, you got Domantas Sabonis, you got Keegan Murray, who we'll get to. And you have to have Cam Johnson to be above 500, like,
right, just above 500.
Yeah, that kind of sounds crazy. Like, you need all that to just get to flip your record. Come on, man.
Fair to say Luka and Kyrie had a lot less and got to the finals?
Absolutely. Derrick Jones Jr., he can't score. He can defend. He's a great defender. He can't score. Lively Gafford, they can't create a shot like Sabonis can. They didn't have anybody else. But P.J. Washington isn't DeMar DeRozan, but those two looked at, like, the offense and the production and were like, we got this. You guys just do the other stuff.
Right.
Like, we got this. Not, man, we need more. Like, and I'll be the first to say I was the one saying it, but like, man, Harrison Barnes not giving us nothing. That's not good enough. We need more. Keegan sometimes shooting and sometimes not. That's not good enough. We need more. So we got to go get DeRozan. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, they were like, all right, well, Derrick Jones might not score more than five points today. But, hey, man, run the floor, play defense. I got the rest. Don't trip.
Right.
And I don't bring up, like, the Mavs as if, like, oh, the Kings should be a team that could get to the finals. But this team isn't even good enough right now to be, like, the 11th best team in the West. They're 12th right now. Mm. You're the fourth worst record in the West right now.
Look at the Clippers. The Clippers.
That's what.
The Clippers are finding a way to be 16-12. They got not even close to one all-star. I know Harden is who Harden is. You know, he's not James Harden of 2017.
But it's because the common denominator with the Mavericks was size and athleticism around Luka and Kyrie. The Clippers are big and athletic. The Kings aren't. And I don't understand. I talked about this earlier on the Insiders. I don't understand how you have Monty McNair, who comes from the Daryl Morey tree, who those Rockets teams with Chris Paul and James Harden were really good because they were a bunch of dudes who were between 6'6 and 6'9 and they could defend their asses off. Everything was switchable. There was versatility. And then you look at the Kings and it's like they're undersized at every position. And there's been no concerted effort to go find a player who's Derrick Jones Jr. or PJ Washington. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why they decided to.
Yeah, it's getting difficult to believe they just miss on everyone. Like, I think they took some pitches. They just watched him go into the strike zone. Like, they didn't make calls about them. I don't think that's true for everything that they've done. Like, sure. I mean, some of them are a little louder than others, but I think there's probably guys that they did inquire about that just didn't work. I've asked, like, is Brandon Ingram during the summer? Is Brandon Ingram even an option? Nope, Mike doesn't like him. Okay. It makes me wonder how many times Mike doesn't like this guy. Or Monty doesn't like this guy. Mm-hmm. Or Wes doesn't like this guy. Maybe the other two don't, but this one doesn't. Mm-hmm. Or maybe these two like him, but this one doesn't.
Maybe the players don't like him.
Maybe no one in this organization is on the same page, which is the most on-brand Sacramento Kings thing in history.
That's what it feels like. That's how I think you get to 2.5 years of, hey, they've had the same problem.
Yep. Yeah.
No one knows how to fix it.
And added DeMar DeRozan, who doesn't in any way, shape, or form address the problem that you had the last 2 years.
Correct.
It's just really cool.
It is cool.
So
they're fun to watch.
And the Not Like Us video, it just dropped. So it's like, let's cook.
So we'll go back because, I mean, things can change. Like, in the moment, you feel some type of way and you see new evidence and things change, understandably so. Then why did we re-sign all these people? Like, we were like, it's a travesty if you don't re-sign Monty McNair. It's a, why are we messing around with Mike Brown? And just sign him, just sign him, just sign him. If they, if this was the premise of, hey, you want this contract, but you're not on the same page with my GM.
Sure.
Like, why are we bringing these guys back to do, to have these same problems? And I'm not saying you, anybody should have an answer, but that's what we were faced at. If Monty McNair and Mike Brown are not on the same page, they fundamentally do not see basketball the same way.
Maybe it's not Mike Brown and Monty McNair that aren't on the same page.
If anybody there, if they weren't on the same page, why are we rushing to sign these guys back to have these same problems?
I think because there was optimism that they would get on the same page, or that they'd be on the same page.
And maybe they are, and they just literally cannot pull the move off.
Maybe.
Maybe they are, and they really believe that this is the squad.
I hope not.
I don't know.
Everything they've done just feels comfortable. There's been no, I don't want to say no risk, because Tyrese for Sabonis, I guess, was a risk there. But everything since then just feels comfortable. And bringing up DeMar, like, I don't even hate that move in hindsight. It's just a matter of Monty didn't do anything to mask the deficiencies of everyone else. Like, this team lacks defenders. Your star players aren't the greatest defenders. Keegan's great and all that, but, like, everyone else is, like, so-so. I'm not going to say Fox is all defensive player or whatever, but he's good. But, like, there's not enough. And Monty didn't go to get a guy, maybe a role player, who can play defense, who can mask that. Teams have guys who can mask what their best players can't do, and the Kings don't have that.
So let me
didn't mask what DeMar maybe doesn't make up for.
Let me ask everybody a question. DeMar signed, or DeMar's traded for and signs in July. July 27th. What should we have done right there? Because I'll speak for myself. I was okay with, hey, keep Herter here and see what he can do off the bench.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would have started Keon. I probably would have started Malik. That was my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you weren't going to start Malik, I would have started Keon. You have Herter coming off the bench or whatever. Are we, hindsight is 2020, but are we all saying that we didn't think that was okay?
I don't think there's anything wrong with letting that roster play itself out, putting guys in different roles. Now, Mike waited a little bit to put Monty in that starting role, but I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of looking at this roster and going, this team could really accomplish some special things.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Now we're 28 games in, and it's clear that they cannot.
Yep.
They are significantly worse than they were last year. Mm-hmm. So the offseason, you look at this and you feel good about it. You see it in practice and you realize, okay, this isn't it. This, or you see it in actuality and you go in real life, like, yeah, this, okay, this isn't working. Mm-hmm. This isn't working the way we thought it was. The problem is, how do you pinpoint the fault? It's fine. If you want to blame DeMar, that's fine. But you'll have to connect the dots to me as to why DeMar DeRozan's presence in a Sacramento Kings uniform has Keegan Murray regressing to where you're throwing stuff through glass windows, like, what is this guy?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Kevin Herter, who is the exact same guy he was last year and is a shell of the guy he was in year one.
I feel like them missing the playoffs didn't sound off enough alarms for that front office. Missing the playoffs last year, you didn't stay the same where you were the year before. You got progressively worse. Like, you got worse. And that, you added DeMar, but you did nothing else. You added Jay Crowder and Doug McDermott after that. I feel like missing the playoffs should have been a little bit more of a red flag than it was for Monty McNair, Wes Wilcox, and whoever's involved.
I think the problem for me is I don't think their assets were worth as much as they might have thought they were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's that many people that are like, we'll give up something for real for Kevin Herter.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give up something real for Trey Lyles. I think that's kind of part of the problem is, okay, you can try and make a move, but.
And now you've waited so long where it's at its worst.
So yeah. But that's not true. That's what's so frustrating with the Sacramento Kings is when you look around at deals, I'm making up a number, 90-something% of deals are nothing more than numbers and contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the player.
Sure.
Absolutely nothing. Trey is expiring. That's valuable.
Sure.
Kevin is cheaper now, 28 games into the season, than he was 28 games ago.
Mm-hmm.
Majorly, you know, a massively cheaper? No, but he is cheaper.
Sure.
Somehow the Sacramento Kings are the only team in the league that has to match talent for talent when acquiring a player.
The killer would...
When else does that happen?
The killer, though, is Trey don't make enough money. He's expiring, but he don't make enough money to get somebody of consequence. So you have to attach Herter to make the money work. And then it's like, when you talk about contracts and stuff, do I want 2 years of Kevin Herter?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if he was expiring, then yeah, let's match up the contracts and just play, not even talent for talent. Like, contracts match up. But Trey don't make enough money to go get a guy like Cam Johnson. I think he makes enough to get Finney Smith. But, like, you're right. It's not always talent for talent, but because when you don't have the expirings that make enough money to just make it a salary.
You don't have the Anthony Melton torn ACL contract.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's expiring.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. The problem with that was the Kings didn't have any second round picks, which to me, and that's the other aspect of this that we've not really gotten to yet. To me, trade your picks.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what it takes to go get it as something substantial. I'm not saying trade a first round pick for Dorian Finney-Smith, but if that's what it takes to go get something substantial, I don't care what it means for 2028 and beyond.
Mm. Monty needs to find a way to get oxygen because those picks are going to mean nothing to him this summer.
Yes.
If this team continues at the rate they're going right now, those picks mean absolutely nothing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so cool. You held on to your picks to not get better now, so you cannot win anything now, but at least you have your picks for when you're rebuilding? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You're right. Well, you guys are right. The other thing that I just can't get past, and we talked about it during the earlier round table, and we figure out like what's the problem, and there's nothing you can really do about it now, but it's dug you such a big hole, I don't know if you can get out of it, and that is drafting Devin Carter.
Yeah.
How, with a roster that doesn't have depth, did you take one of your biggest assets at the time and use it to get a player that you can't, that cannot play?
Well,
you
drafted, is this fair? They drafted at a position you don't even necessarily need right now?
That too.
Yep.
How did you do that?
It absolutely felt like they drafted Devin Carter because they thought Kevin wasn't going to be here.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's exactly what it
is. Kevin's here.
You're working with a front office with no plan B at this point, then.
What's plan A?
Well, I guess whatever the hell was supposed to be with Kevin, but like there's no counter with this team, with this front office. There's no counter at all, then, it seems. And it's all right, we're stuck then, fellas. Like, hopefully you guys can do it. Hopefully Mike can make this work.
And how can you, like, let's lay out the whole scenario. You draft Devin Carter with thoughts that Herter was probably going to be gone, which I agree with, but How do you make that draft pick talking about I'm going to trade a guy that just had surgery and isn't even cleared to play?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you confidently say, I'm going to draft this guy because this guy that's hurt is going to, I'm going to trade him? I could tell you right now, you're probably not trading him at that time. Nobody's accepting that deal.
No.
So I don't know. I can't. Everything I can, everything else I seem to be able to compartmentalize or make a reasoning behind, I can't figure out why you drafted Devin Carter. I have no idea why you did that. And this has nothing to do with Devin Carter, the player, but more so to the situation. And the more I talk to people, the more it's clear they knew he had to have surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you knew he wasn't going
to
play.
To be clear, it'd be substantially worse if they didn't.
That too, because everybody else knew.
That's just pure incompetence.
The it's no coincidence he fell down the draft board.
Look,
everybody else knew.
We knew. D'Lo and KC knew. James knew. We knew. They had to have known.
How could you draft for him?
Monty.
And once again, I want to be perfectly clear. This has nothing to do with Devin Carter, the player, because number one, we haven't seen him in an NBA uniform.
Yeah.
And number two, when I watched him in college, I like some of the things he does. But not, like Jesse said, I don't know if it fits being a 6'2", 6'3 guard when you've got all that already taken care of.
Right.
And number two, he wasn't going to play. He wasn't going to play.
Why does he keep drafting backups?
Great question. Here's the thing I don't know, man. It just doesn't. The Devin Carter thing, in theory, made sense without Kevin Herter.
Mm-hmm.
but you knew he wasn't going to play till January. And even then, when he plays, how much is he going to play? And how much is he going to contribute as a rookie?
Which, not to interrupt you, which is also crazy. Because if you're drafting, if you're trading Kevin Huerter, but you're drafting a guy that can't play, you still have depth issues.
Yes. And this is, okay, let me put it this way. The Kings have a good roster.
Yes.
I feel like they do.
Yeah, they have a talented roster, yeah.
Right. Okay. Do they have a well-constructed roster?
Probably not.
I don't think they do. Mm. And the Devin Carter pick is part of the reason you don't have a well-constructed roster. Mm-hmm. Because at some point you need, we're talking about the Kevin Durant Warriors earlier. They got by with so many randos because those randos fit exactly like, okay, you know what? They're building around these four dudes and everyone else needs to meet just a requisite level of being an NBA player and they're going to fit these very specific roles. Mm. I don't think the Kings have ever committed to, okay, building around Fox, Sabonis, Keegan, and Malik. We're building around those four dudes. Everybody else needs to supplement exactly what those guys do on the court. I don't think that went into consideration at all when building this roster. And that's a massive problem to me.
This is year four, year three of Monty.
Four?
Five.
Five?
Yeah, it's four or five. Yeah, because okay. he was around.
How long have we been talking about Monty, go get a wing, go get a wing, go get a wing, go get some size? Like, what if it's just at this point, Monty McNair's team building philosophy just is bad. It's just not working. Like, this is what Monty envisions. It doesn't work. Like, how do you go this long without having another wing besides Keegan Murray or Harrison Barnes before that?
The dynamite question.
Mm-hmm. We're all guards. No. He drafts guard after guard after guard. Mm-hmm. Team has no size. Pause.
Very nice. That's good.
It doesn't matter.
No. That's good. That's good.
It's a quick whistle today.
Tensions are high. But this is what it's been like for years. It's just different players and whatever, different guards at this point.
It's been the same. They've had the same weakness for 3 years now.
And you guys are 100% correct. And the guys that we're talking about, I could be wrong. Well, I'll do a deep dive and figure out. But the guys that you mentioned in Memphis, some of the guys.
Jake. Santi Aldama.
Some of the guys we saw in Denver on Monday. Hell, Gabe Vincent last night. Mm-hmm. These aren't
well,
first.
Well, we saw why that was.
Well, this is true.
If you watch the video.
Yeah, this is, well.
There's rumors Gabe caught.
And I understand.
Caught eyes of some of the hometown baddies and was like, okay. There's video. I'll send it to you.
But
good for Gabe Vincent.
Yeah, always good for Gabe Vincent.
You talk about all these guys. These aren't lottery picks. These are late first round, second round, undrafted free agent guys.
That fit.
Everybody finds these guys. How do you not find them?
That's it.
How do you never find them? And then this maybe gets off of Monty a little bit and try to figure out what's going on here with Mike Brown. You've got guys that he did sign that you're just not playing.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I'm not saying these guys would change the fortunes of everything for this team, but what we have right now ain't good enough. Why isn't Jay Crowder playing? I know there's some issues and some deficiencies, but why isn't Doug McDermott playing? He's finally started to hit shots, and no, we don't want to play him no more. What the hell happened to J-Mac? I know he's the size of Ryan, but you need shooting.
Your daughter, Ryan.
Yes.
Who's two.
That's crazy.
I just wanted to say, but not everybody knows.
Oh, you need the context for that, yes.
No, I just want to be clear.
I know, look, he has he's a point guard with a high basketball IQ, and you signed him because he could shoot the three ball, and you can't make the three ball. And we saw Gabe Vincent last night. Gabe Vincent is cool. He's a good ball player. He's not heads and shoulders better than Jordan McLaughlin. And he was able to come in there and hit 15, 16 points last night.
Mm-hmm.
J.J. Redick looked at him and said, all right, I'm going to give him an opportunity and find a way for him to be effective. Why can't none of these guys, once again, it's not the ideal guys that you want to sign, but you just don't play none of them, Mike, ever?
Jordan McLaughlin, by the way, career 37% three-point shooter.
Mm.
That's tough.
58 seconds for all the guys that you mentioned last night, except for Jay Crowder, who just didn't play.
Good thing I said on the insiders that the Kings needed a vintage Jay Crowder game. That's tough. It's a bad beat.
That's a bad beat.
Remind me again why Jay Crowder was brought here. Was someone hurt at that time and you needed someone?
Trey Lyles got hurt.
But that's what. But to your point, specifically with Jay Crowder, I don't think Jay Crowder's like this awesome ball player anymore. But anybody that watches the Kings go, man, they could use a player who is 6 feet, 7 inches tall.
Mm-hmm. Who ain't a bitch.
Who's not a bitch. Thank you.
Well, we saw it the first game. Like, boy,
we said that in two very different ways.
We saw it the first game he played. Jay Crowder finally brought some attitude.
I got to get some bass in my voice. Yeah.
Since then, all right, Jay's not playing more than 5 minutes a game now.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. He's not the best version of what they need, but he's a version of it. They go, nah, no thanks. I don't.
It's back to Mike. Is this a Mike Brown problem?
He's part of the problem.
I think the reason that we had to have this emergency sit down is because it's not one problem. Mm. I think there is a front office problem with Monty and Wes. I think there's a Mike Brown problem. Mike Brown going last night going, they know what they need to do. They just need to do it. Like, well, okay. At some point, the coach has got to adapt what they're doing to the personnel because it's clear the personnel can't do what they want them to do.
Or at some point, I'm going to start looking at these gentlemen as idiots.
Or, and this is the other question, have they tuned Mike Brown out? Because we talk about bench and all this other stuff. One thing that keeps happening is the starters keep being down 13 to 15 points.
So let me ask.
Like they don't give a damn.
Who's they?
All of them.
I'll say Fox,
DeRozan, Monk, Keegan, Sabonis.
At that point, everybody go home.
Yeah, you just wrap it up. You hoes have won under one coach.
Yeah, I'll let you know where you're playing next.
I'm not. You guys are 100. You know how I feel. You know I'm on like just player coach. You listen to the coach. You handle business. At the very least, it's in the best interest of you. It does nothing for you to get smacked around every first quarter.
Right.
Like you're not. Oh, I'm showing the coach now. No, you look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But we got to ask the question because that's. Why can I come in here and say, you know what, I bet you the Kings will be down 13 at some point. And they're down 13 before the first media timeout. Every damn game.
Yeah.
That can't happen. When your starting group is
at home,
theirs, that's crazy.
Mike Post game giving us a little basketball lesson talking about when the smaller guys is guarding Domas, I try to tell these guys, don't bounce past it. Give them the ball in the air. This is how you teach it. And he's like literally like doing an example. Like that was tough. That's the basics. Like, what are we doing at this point? You're not getting that.
Do we look at the team and go, do we have the stupidest team in the league?
Bill Callahan.
Shut up.
Follow that basketball.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Thank you.
That's, I think, Mike Brown last night talking about, too, players aren't living up to the contracts they signed. Cool, then cut them. Get rid of them then. If everything is based around this contract, if you're not, if you feel there's a player you're not getting buy-in from, all right, see ya.
And then if you're getting a, if you're getting not getting buy-in from a player, if I'm Monty McNair, I need to know who that is, because if you go, Mike Brown, I can't have that guy around.
Yep.
I don't want that type of guy around.
Nope.
Whereas just going to check out if things aren't going the way that they think it should go, or the way they want it to go.
How much of these are talking points, and how much of these are just the details of a team that's not going to make it?
Yes.
We're talking about coaches that aren't listening, like not listening to the coach or whatever. Front office can't figure it out. The players can't get it going. Like, at what point is this, like, yeah, this is probably not going to work.
Now. I think it's now. I don't think this is going to work.
Like I said, there's talking points where it's like, all right, we'll talk the rest of the season about it. But now it's like, all right, this is what they are like now. Like, this is what it is now.
I want to bring Omar's remark in here. Remember when Matt Barnes, remember what Matt Barnes said about Mike Brown a few years ago when he got the job? Yeah, he said it on this show. He says he's not a good coach. He didn't like playing for him. He was the wrong coach. Mm-hmm. Matt quickly changed his tune, but he was talking about his perspective from the Los Angeles Lakers when Mike coached him as a Los Angeles Laker, who was a championship team. Mm-hmm. This team lost to the Golden State Warriors in the first round of the playoffs and then to the New Orleans Pelicans for the sixth time in the play-in. You're not the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. You're not a team coming fresh off a title. Mm-hmm. If that man says throw a bounce pass, throw a goddamn bounce pass.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. We'll let Kyle go start his weekend, and we'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines for you. Man, TC already holding. God damn. All right.
Everybody get in here, man. Roundtable, don't stop just because, you know, we're going to keep this going for a whole 4 hours.
The roundtable now heads to the streets. 916-909-1320. Oak Grove Kia Talk Line is open for you here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. And asking, do you think the front office would consider a trade around Monk at this point? I don't think so. There's no reason to do that at all. Absolutely not.
Monk was the one guy last night while I was watching that game that I felt in Sabonis, that I felt had a real sense of urgency for what they were staring in the face as far as losing another game at home, losing to the Lakers. Like, Monk visibly looked frustrated, looked intense, looked like he sensed the moment, sensed what was upon them, mm-hmm. and tried to actively push himself to make a difference and to make sure that doesn't happen. So that's a guy that you hold on to, because that's one of the biggest issues. And that's a guy that's given you what you're looking for in that respect to go along with the skill level and everything in the production. That's a guy that you hold on to. This is going to sound crazy because I'm not saying these other guys don't, but I know for a fact that Monk gives a damn, and that winning and losing is like priority number one. That's what I get from watching him.
100%. I'm with you. Let's get to these phone lines. 916 Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320. We'll start with our man TC. TC, what's going on, baby?
Man, what's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
Jesse, Kyle in the back as well, man, because it's going to get juicy, bro. So, where I'm coming from with Mike, right, because Mike, you know, we can't leave Mike out of this. What Mike's problem is rotations. Mike, you got to start playing bodies, bro. Like, I know these guys might not be your guys, but you got to play them, bro, like a Crowder. What was the thing that I was preaching when I called we got Crowder? I was, even before we got him, he's a dog. Mm-hmm. What happened the first time we played him? We need that, bro. The team responded. We was like edgy when he started that night, bro. Even though, didn't we win that game or did we lose? I'm tripping.
We won, yeah, against Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, bro, we was super edgy that game, getting people out their bodies and all that. Like, come on, man. As far as Monty, you got to make a move, bro, or that's it. Like, your move right now today is calling Danny Ainge. Danny, let's work out a deal with John Collins, bro. We need to work out a deal with him. Then you get off the phone with him and you call Portland, bro. Go get Matisse Thybulle. Them two dudes to help out. Collins to help out in the starting lineup. Matisse to help out on the bench. Kenny, I'm with you. King fans, I'm sorry. But it's Keegan is not untradeable anymore, bro. If it's a right deal for a right stud, we might have to pull that trigger, bro. The whole you not shooting, all this and that, it's not on Keegan, bro, but Keegan is who he is, bro. To me, he hit a ceiling. He's not going to get no better than he is right now. He's just going to be a dude. He's never going to be a superstar, none of that. He's just going to be a dude. I love Keegan Murray. That's my boy. I love him, but it's time to move on, bro. Fox, you want to start responding better, bro. I'm not going to keep talking about you, big dog, but you're going to have to start responding better. You're going on these podcasts, talking about this and that about the team. Bro, you need to start being a dog and start being a killer. This laid-back stuff, I know it might not be you, but you got to be something different, bro. You got to start approaching the game different other than this super laid-back cat. That's all I got, bro. I'm frustrated, y'all, and I'm hot.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I know we got another call.
With a hot TC.
But, I mean, the Keegan Murray aspect, like I said, the deal's got to be right. I don't look at John Collins or Matisse Thybulle as being the right type of deal or something like that. But you're talking about a guy, you know, an all-star, close to all-star level guy, you know, like Brandon Ingram. Like, if he was available or, you know, you could work that trade out, I'd seriously think about that. A guy like Zach LaVine, I'd seriously think about that. I think Keegan Murray, who I don't want to, you know, come down too hard on Keegan because I know he's playing injured or whatever. But he just he's limited on the offensive end. Defensively, he's good. I don't know if he's as good as we thought or he was last year. I know he's being asked to do a lot of different stuff, but I just look at that and the premise of it all is I don't look at that as a guy that you just can't touch, like you can't trade. Like, I think for the right deal, yeah, he can be available.
Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Let's get our man Andrew in here. Andrew, what you thinking?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so my thing, I kind of wanted to talk about Debo. I feel like right now his shot is just broken. Just back, I don't know if he's still dealing with the back injury. I know backs are tricky. They're tough. They can linger. But before the back injury, I mean, he was 20 points a game, minimum. Now, I mean, he's at Harrison Barnes, you know, 6-7 points a game, 10 if lucky. I mean, dude was a walking and one. I mean, you get him within 10 feet of the bucket, you know, it was and one every single time. But, I mean, his production, is it back related? I mean, what do you guys think? That's my thought.
Yeah, I mean, and that's another thing. We're asking questions about everything that's going wrong, right? Is it his back? He had 29 points against the Pelicans on the 12th. I mean, that was after the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had 18 before that, 23, 26. I can't remember when the back happened. I feel like it happened back a while ago, November.
Yeah, there's been a while. It was the Phoenix game where he had two.
So, I mean, he had 28 against the Spurs.
Actually, it happened twice because he came back. Mm-hmm. He had 30 against OKC, and we thought he was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was on the injury list or something like that for a game or so.
Yeah, I think the Spurs game was after that.
Yeah.
He had 28. He had 26 against the Grizzlies, 23 against the Spurs, 29 against the Pelicans. He sucked yesterday. He'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like I think the tough part is, you know, I don't expect ever, you know, ball players to be, you know, the best version of themselves 82 games a year. Mm-hmm. You know, you ideally you hope that that's true. The problem is so many guys aren't the best versions of themselves at the same time on this team. Mm-hmm. Keegan hasn't been the best version of himself for 28 games. And I don't know what to do about that, what to think about that, what to say about that, what excuse to make about it. Like, I don't know how to explain a player's drastic regression like this.
Yeah.
Because it is a regression. We can talk about guarding the ball handler and how good he is on it. We can absolutely do that. And if he wants to be, if the idea is we're going to make Keegan Murray a one-dimensional player, cool. Sorry, DeMar, you can't have a bad night. Sorry, Malik, you can't have a bad night. Sorry, De'Aaron, you're going to have to get really aggressive really early because a player at a really important position, we've decided to make Bruce Bowen. Or Bruce Brown. I don't care which one you want to make him. You can make him either one. But that's what he's going to be. So you four, you've got to make up for that. Oh, and Kevin, please stop being terrible. Yeah, that's not realistic. But the tough part is, so DeMar, Keegan, and Kevin were all bad yesterday. And the truth is, Malik wasn't actually good. He wasn't hitting shots, even though he was 1-3 away. Needed one more three. He needed one more three from that boy.
Don't remind me. I thought I had it in that damn Max Christie. All of a sudden, he wants to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Max Christie, the offensive rebounding machine, Max Christie.
Oh, it's that guy looking like
we haven't even
Josh Hart.
We haven't even talked about that yet. They got their ass beat on the boards yesterday. Not just the boards. What would it be? 14 to, was it 4 offensive rebounds?
Yeah.
14, it's in the notes somewhere.
14 to 4
offensive rebounds. 53-43 overall. Hey, remember when it was funny when Domas kept beating Anthony Davis's ass?
Well, that feels like generations ago at this point.
That lady from the Titanic. It was so long ago.
Feels like generations ago.
So long ago.
You know, a lot of talk has been going around about DeMar DeRozan and his fit and all this other stuff. Is he a perfect fit? Is he a good fit? If you want to say no, sure. I don't look at DeMar DeRozan as
to me, DeMar's. Problem. Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
DeMar's a great fit with this team with a better roster. Because the deficiencies that DeMar has for the starting lineup exists throughout the entire roster. There is literally no bench player to put out there with DeMar that evens everything out. You just put another guy in who has the same deficiencies as the guy he's replacing. Kyle just asked the question, is the roster talented? Yes, it is. That's why we all thought this team could win 50 games. Is this roster balanced? Emphatically, the very clear answer is no, it's not. And the only hope that this team has, the only hope that this fan base has for a postseason is that these shots start to fall at a clip in which we have not seen yet. Mm-hmm. That is the only way, the one and only way this team survives. And we're going to have to deal with the fact the Kings are probably going to win games 130 to 125. They're going to get lucky if a team is shooting bad and they're going to win a game 125 to 101. But the idea that this team is going to gut out a gutsy performance, that's not going to happen. That's absolutely not going to happen. I forgot we have to go to commercial. It is so bad.
You kept looking up, so I thought you were like, you're going to finish your point.
It's so bad when Kenny has to wrap me up. He's like, hey, stupid.
I wasn't wrapping you up. I was saying I wasn't going to say anything. You're wrapping up.
No, he's telling me to, hey.
We go to 58 if you guys
want. No, I was like, you cook. No. I was saying, I'm not
cooking. I'm just in here burning stuff. Go to commercial. There, that boy, Leezy. That boy, Odyssey Employee of the Month, Leezy, right there. As we welcome in our buddy, Will Z, kind enough to join us. When I invited Will on, I actually thought the Kings were going to win yesterday. I was like, let's have some fun Friday.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Well, this is taking a turn.
Not as much fun.
You said you've been working on some things to try to figure out like what's going on. What have you uncovered?
So it feels, and we've talked about it, like you guys talked about it. It doesn't feel like the Kings have an identity. Like, they're not an offensive team. They're not a defensive team. So I was trying to figure out why the hot topic around the area, especially the last few days, has been the close games, their advanced ratings. They're pretty high in both offense and defense net rating. Like, all of the numbers show that they should have a better record. But why aren't they having a better record? So what I did is I took their advanced ratings, offensive rating 115.5, defensive rating 112.7. How many games were they better on both offense and defense, which is ideally what you're going to be going for? Obviously, it's an average of their rating, so it's going to be a portion of the games. But they've only been better on both sides of the court 5 times in the 28 games. They're 5-0 in those games. They've been worse on both sides of the court six times. They're 0-6 in those games. Makes sense. And then they've been better on defense nine times with a record of 4-5 and better on offense with a record of 4-4. What this all shows me is that they aren't able to stack games where they are good on both sides. They're either good on offense or good on defense, but with neither being good enough to win games at a consistent pace, which is what we saw with the Beam team here. Their offense was good enough that even if they weren't good on defense, that they could still win. Last year, we saw, I think at times, their defense got better and they used defense to win games, but that's not getting the job done either. They aren't stringing enough together, and it's got to be so infuriating to Mike Brown because he wants to be a defensive team so bad, but when they are that good defensive team, which I thought they were pretty solid last night, there were some defensive moments that were could have been better. The rebounding, obviously. But I thought they played hard on defense, but their offense looked terrible. Like, turnovers, no flow, especially when Fox went out at the end of the third quarter. They got the defensive stops, but they couldn't score at all. And that was with all of their main rotation guys. So it's just, to me, they don't have anything consistent that they're doing to give them that identity that I think they so desperately need. And we're 28 games into the season. It's too far.
To your point, Will, as I just look at what happened last night, you know, you look at the field goal shooting. They field goal percentage wise, they outshot the Lakers 45-40. I always ask them to stay close in the three. That was the thing earlier in the season. Just stay close. Don't get beat by 25 points. I don't think that's mathematically possible. 24 points, but from the 3-point line. It was 11-12. Free throw shooting was a little down, but it was 15-25. You know, you're going to expect that. But the killer was the Lakers obviously getting 12 more shots with those 14 offensive rebounds. And you combine that with getting to the line, it amounts to a loss. Plus, you weren't that good on the offensive end. So to your point with the numbers that you – they don't get beat the same way all the time.
Yep.
It's something – different, and they never seem to put together a complete game. It's the offense is cooking this night, but they couldn't defend, or they defended a lot better, but now they can't make no shots, or everything was kind of all right. They made their free throws and all this other stuff, but they dominated in the paint, but they got outscored by 27 points from beyond the arc. Like, it's always like, it's not a bunch of things, and it's not the same thing every time. It's one thing that they just can't overcome every game.
Yeah, which I don't know if that's better or worse. To me, it makes it feel worse because you're a shifting problem you can't track down as well. Whereas, like, beginning of the season, just hit your threes and we're good. That's gone. It's over. Mm. Like, it's a shifting issue of a game-to-game basis, opponent-to-opponent basis that has got to be so... I don't know how you fix something like that. And hearing Mike Brown say that the team is not executing their top, like the scouting report, top keys. They go into a game, they say, we want to do this, we want to do this, we want to do that. And that's what the Lakers beat them in last night, were those top scouting report items. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the tough part about last night's game. We always do this is like, you know, especially in, you know, comeback games or close games, like did you ever think they were going to win or did you ever think they were going to lose? When they... you know, fought back because they had to dig themselves into a deficit first because that's what we're doing.
Yeah, of course.
When the game starts.
And took the lead. I just kept watching them like, I'm not buying it.
No.
I never bought it last. I was like, it just can't get right, boss. Like you said in life, it just can't get right. I was like, they don't look right. Like they took the lead in it like they have no vibes. Then LeBron has the chase down.
Game changer.
The lay-in. And then the charge. Yep. Man's 90 years old out there whooping your ass like that. What's that, Will?
It was over. Yeah. And then I think someone came back and hit a three. Maybe. I could be wrong. But that was the play where, yeah, in my mind, I was like, this game's over. Like, in that singular moment.
That was the play. Not to interrupt you, Will, but that was the play. And it was kind of, it's not like you go to maybe back in the day, you go to see Jordan dunk on all this other stuff, or Kobe's fall away, or crossover, Allen Iverson's crossover. LeBron's chase down is his signature. So that place erupted.
It did. And
on
can,
the chase
down. Can I tell you the dumbass thing I thought of? Does Keon frame that?
Maybe. Oh. I don't know.
Like, because when they showed the replay and it's Bron and it's Keon, and you, I'm like, ah. I mean, it's not poster? It's not Tatum dunking on the Bron or whoever it is on the painting, but it's like, ah, I think about it because that's the signature play.
That is his signature play. That place went crazy. Obviously, I was not a Laker fan, but just in general, like there was even a buzz from Kings fans.
Well, that's the thing.
Because we saw his play.
And what made it worse is the only time that arena buzzed is when that happened because it went from one to the other, to the other, and the buzz was sustained. And it's like, we lost this game. Mm-hmm. And for the second time in however many years, they beat us out of our own arena.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was tough to stomach, you know, seeing those guys, especially like you mentioned, Will, down the stretch, they were getting stops. They were having opportunities. They couldn't find a way to score. And I don't know. I don't know. There's a kind of twofold with this team. I don't know what you do to become more consistent with just something, right? So you're not getting beaten the same way all the time. And we all talk about trades and movement and stuff. I'm not sure what you do to trade. I'm not sure what you do to trade. Like your best real, not, I shouldn't say realistic, but like Fox, Sabonis, obviously, even Keegan, you know, those are trade assets. But I'm assuming those guys aren't getting traded. Your best asset might be Devin Carter, and I have no faith that Monty McNair would move on from him.
Yeah,
and not because once again, he's a first round pick. He's a rookie scale. You know, people seem to like him going into the draft. That could be your best asset, and I don't think they're going to use it.
Yeah, it's probably a depreciated asset right now too, which I don't think Monty likes moving. Like his value is just low compared to what it could be. It probably goes up if he plays well when he comes back, but I mean, we saw it with looking back at Davion. I think that his value was lower than a lot of people hoped for, but it feels like every asset the Kings have right now, even Keegan, is going down.
Well, sorry you got roasted for your trade article, by the way.
Like, no, it's all right.
Will hit me up like, man. Hey, you think I'm gonna get roasted for this? I'm like, no. Oh, man, people love trade articles. Well
I didn't catch it. What were they saying? What was going on?
Well, I did two articles in like a 4-day span. One on how I think Keon is one of the like best assets the Kings could attach to a deal because he good contract, good player. Like he is the type of player that sweetens the pot to get a deal done, like maybe around the value of a protected pick. So if you didn't want to do a pick or you don't want to do Keegan, you can throw in Keon and that would hurt. But it's an option that you should at least explore. And especially with Carter coming back, like you can kind of see how you can fill that spot. You have McLaughlin on the bench. Like there's ways around it. So I did that one and people were like, no, I wouldn't trade Keon. And then I wrote about Trista's idea and people just hated that one. Like,
and to be clear, I hated too.
Yeah. I got mad at myself for how much I liked it as I was writing it. I kind of talked myself into it.
For those that missed it, it was Keegan, Kevin, Trey for Jeremy Grant.
Yeah. I would think about it a lot more if it wasn't all three of those players. Like, you just can't diminish your depth as well as lose Keegan.
When your depth already sucks. Like, your lack of depth is a problem.
Yeah. But if there's a way to get Jeremy Grant, I hadn't really thought of him lately. Looking in his numbers again, it's like Jeremy Grant with Keegan, I think that would be a good move that isn't getting talked about as much. I keep trying to think of other names too, but it's just hard with not that many players out there. The market's going to be a big seller's market. It's tough.
Well, this isn't what I was hoping for, Will, but you know we appreciate you as always, my friend.
Yeah, I'm always happy to come on, and even if it's sad, it's fun to talk to you.
No,
guys.
At some point we're going to talk about something good.
Yeah, I feel like it's been a while since I've come on after a win. Maybe that's not true.
Maybe we start. Maybe I'll start sending the text after the game. Like, all right, Kings won. Come on, Will. Let's talk about all of the good things they did yesterday.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Appreciate you, my
Take
friend.
Take care, Will.
Have a great
Yeah,
a great
enjoy
Christmas.
Your time off, you guys.
Yeah, yeah appreciate
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, guys.
Will Z, the wonderful Z family.